My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
My life is a mess.
It's gonna be like a wig reveal.
She's in a cult which doesn't allow haircuts.
Funny doggy to Pepsi.
I just saw Manila Girl.
It was a simpler time.
No one cares about this. We are phoning it in.
Hi, welcome back to the ISD podcast. This is week 7, and we're still on the road to worlds. Also, I'm Netta. Hi.
Hi, I'm Megan. Welcome back. I like that you started this time. I was going to say, like, Netta should start this time. And then you just did. It was great.
It felt weird.
It felt, like, unnatural.
Yeah, but I've embraced it. We're talking about 2 events this week.
Kind of a third, if you count the fact that we are going to talk about Worlds again.
It's only been a week. This season keeps getting... it keeps making me question space and time. Because I feel like the start of the Grand Prix series was about 25 years ago, and then last week was like a month ago. I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah, and also for some reason the world just keeps deciding to put major events concurrently, and it's driving me insane.
Yeah, if the ISU is listening, there's more weeks in the competitive season than you're like aware of.
There are perfectly good weeks in the year that we are like, oh, I wish we could watch skating. And then there's other weeks in the year where we want to like take a Gold Seal Revolution blade to our throats because we're so overwhelmed by all of that. That was so morbid. I can't put that in.
Yeah, you can't. Please keep this in. It's beautiful. And it's exactly how I felt last week. We had the Universiade and we had Junior Worlds.
Yeah. So let's jump right into it. Do you want to start with the Universiade?
Oh my God. Yeah. So the Universiade is... it's kind of what it says on the tin. It's an international competition, and it's actually, it's like the Winter Universiade, and it's all kinds of like winter sports. And it happened in Krasnoyarsk, Russia this year. And we only followed the figure skating because there was like 17 other things happening, and that's too much. But the point is, you can compete if you're enrolled in a university.
And it's kind of like a mini Olympics. It happens every couple of years, and it's a similar vibe. Like, obviously not as high profile, but very much like an international coming together and competing in all sorts of sports. And this is like the winter one.
Yeah, there's also like obviously a summer one. It's like a whole thing. Before we even start, I want to commend the production teams over in Krasnoyarsk.
Oh my God. It was like breathtaking.
It was high art. First of all, like the actual like production design in the arena, like their kiss and cry and all the graphics and everything looked so beautiful. And like across the board, even like the event website, everything was like really, really well made. It looked
mascot was an adorable husky dog, which is like, why can't the Olympics mascot just be something normal, like a husky dog, and not like an eldritch horror homunculus cat pig?
I don't know, but I was a fan of this entire thing. And then their camera work was stunning.
Oh my God, I felt like I was the ice.
God, I wish I were the ice. No, but seriously, like compared to some of the other events that we've watched over the season, the people over at the Universiade did such a beautiful job. There was like a camera like tracking from like ice level. There was a very fun coach cam. It made it look like a cooler sport. And we already know it's cool. Like,
yeah, followed the skater. There were cool zoom-ins. There were cool angles. It felt really cinematic.
Yeah.
And it was really, gave me chills. Gave me chilies.
Gave you chilies. You went to Chili's yesterday, right?
I did. I went to Chili's and I texted Netta a picture of my dinner. And I was like, I just watched Mariah Bell and I had to go.
Yeah, it was very special. It looked really good. I was quite jealous. I was also jealous of everyone who got to go to the Universiade because the overall vibe was great.
It was like an interesting event in that the spread of like skill level was wider than usual. It was obviously a huge field. And then it's like you get people who like we're going to talk about who are already competing on an international level. And then, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, there are like college athletes who are still impressive, but not internationally competitive usually. So it was really cool to see them all kind of competing at the same event.
Yeah, it was fun. And also like there is like the same level of like respect for the sport regardless of like skill level, which was fun because at like a senior event, you're kind of like, are mostly interested in what's going to happen at the very top. And with this one, like you said, like the skill level, we'll talk about it, but like the skill level was so like widespread. It was kind of exciting. But I feel like much like the Russian Cup final, it ended up being one of those things where we unofficially were watching four people who are going to Worlds to see how they were going to do.
It was like an open practice. We're like, oh, it's like their final. It's like their dress rehearsal. What are we going to see? How are they doing?
Yeah. So with that said, do you want to talk about some boys?
Yeah. So in the interest of not having to talk about every man who ever put on a pair of Adidas, we're just going to do top three and then like a couple honorable mentions from any and all genders, which as far as the ISU is concerned are two. And we're going to start with men in the name of equality.
I love equality. In third, taking bronze was Morisi Kvitelishvili, which was exciting because I love watching him skate. And I always kind of like forget about him until I see him in competition. I don't know if that's like a bad thing to say. Okay, so he represents Georgia. That's the country, not the state. But he's like Russian and Georgian. He's like Russia-based. And he is, out of like high-profile athletes, he is a Thierry's only boy, kind of.
Yeah, he's her main man. He's her main man.
Yeah, I'm sure she trains a lot of other boys, but he's kind of like the main boy.
That kind of endears me to him, or it endears him to me in a way, because he must on some level have some respect for like women in power if he's like surrounded by them at all times. He's like, you know, like those guys who are like, I have 16 sisters, women are goddesses.
Yeah, I can see that. He's like protective of all the like little Terry girls. Also, don't put this in the podcast, but his birthday is in like 5 days.
Oh my God, a Pisces.
It's March 17th.
Oh my God, he has the same birthday as Hozier and St. Patrick.
But in the meantime, so Morrissey, he was fifth after the short program. And then he skated his free really well.
Good for him. Yeah, we like a comeback.
I wanna say, weirdly, his free skate is one of my favorite programs this season. And I'm so happy I got to see it, like, one more time and done super, super, super well.
Well, he's going to Worlds, right?
He is going to Worlds, but, like, I'm not sure how he's going to do it. And I got to be excited about this.
Is that the jet, not jet of blood, what's it called?
It's the heartbeat, it's bloodstream. The Mozart, no, Bloodstream is his short program. His free skate is the Mozart opera rock.
Oh, that's right.
It is so good. It's a French musical about Mozart.
And then he ends by like drinking a fake alcohol and then like dying or something.
That is so great. That piece of music is so campy. It's like fake opera, like early 2000s musical theater. It reminds me of Repo and all of that like fake edgy instrumental like massive faux classical bullshit, and it's so great, and he gives me like the right amount of camp for that. I always like kind of end up rooting for him, so that was we haven't seen him podium since Rust Telecom. He got silver at Rust Telecom.
That's right. Oh yeah, and then of course Yuzu on crutches got gold.
God, yeah, that was traumatic.
What an event, man.
Okay, do you have anything else to say about Morisi Kvitelishvili?
No, I feel a little bit torn about him because I agree with you. Like, I do like to watch him skate and I root for him, especially as a guy from a smaller federation. But the other thing is like, it's hard for me to be like fully like, yay, go, go, go for any of the Sambo skaters.
Oh my God. Hard same. I mean, honestly, hard same. But, if I had to like, in the spirit of equality, if I had to root for any of them.
I guess you could pick the man.
I guess I would pick the one man. God.
Wow, that's really noble of you.
Thank you. I'm all about equality.
Okay. In second place, we have Maxime Kovtun, who was first after the short program. And so, you know, after the short program, we're like, oh my God, he's going to win. He ended up in second place, but he did quite well. It really was nice to see him skate at the level that he was at back at Russian Nationals.
Yeah. And he had a new costume for his short.
Oh, he did.
He did. It was like a burgundy something. He kept his like rolled up sleeves, so we got to see like all the ink and like the fun stuff.
His aesthetic went from being like bartender at a speakeasy to like coolest guy in the college a cappella group.
Yeah, it was definitely a very solid choice. I was not upset about it. I'm always into seeing the boys wear like a lot of bold color. And he had like the suspenders still and all of that. It was still like hip bartender enough for me. And then he had his free, which wasn't like his cleanest, but it wasn't the worst.
No, it was, yeah, it was solid. And yeah, his energy, I think, was what we were missing the most at Euros. And I felt like that was back here. It was cute. It was like something about the Universiade across the board that I found really cute in a way was when we're watching them at like ISU events, it's very easy to see them as like old. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, especially somebody like Maxime Kovtun, who like looks a little older, especially like with his tattoos, and they feel like he's like a little taller than some of like the teenagers. Yeah. It's easy to just think of them as like, oh, they're so talented and they're like old. And then you remember like they're all college student age.
Yeah.
So it's like cute to watch them here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Something else that I like noticed in the same vein was part of the way they were introduced for the Universiade was country and then university. And while some of their university careers sound like they're enrolled in a course so they can go to the Universiade, which is valid, it was kind of fun to hear that. Like, you know, you hear, oh, so-and-so goes to the National University of Sport and Tourism. And you're like, oh, right, this is a person I can relate to. This is a person who probably has to write like one crappy essay per like semester to get some college credit to go to the Universiade. It was kind of humanizing in a way. I'm sorry I'm gonna say this, but it was fun to watch an event where no one was 16. Like, for once.
Yeah! Oh my god, you're right, it was.
And then we're gonna talk about Junior Worlds, which is the exact opposite, but
so the thing about Maxim, plot twist, is as of recording, this morning, he pulled out of Worlds.
Which is kind of shocking, honestly.
I was not expecting that at all.
I was not expecting that. I was pulling for him in my top 10, especially after the Universiade, because like going into predictions last week, I was kind of not sure, because last we'd seen him, it was Euros, and he, you know, didn't do that great. And then Universiade, he skated fine. And I was like, wait, this messes up my predictions because he's doing well. And then this morning he pulls out, citing medical reasons, so we hope he's fine. But it was kind of shocking, like, out of everyone that we've been speculating about or, like, kind of unsure about performance-wise, I did not see this coming from him.
No, yeah, I hope he's okay. And, you know, the good news is that you forgot to put him in your calculations last week, and now you don't have to feel bad about that.
Yeah, so maybe I jinxed it. I do feel bad about it.
Maybe you decide who lives and who dies.
If I'm secretly like the Death Note of figure skating.
Oh my god!
Wee Bowers.
You're like, and I'm like the weird ghost that hangs out with you.
What's his name? Like, Ryuk?
Yes!
I hate that I know this. It's 2019 and I'm not a weeb. So, Maxim is kind of done with his season now, right?
Yeah, unless he goes to World Team Trophy.
Yeah, he could do that, which would be fine. But, like, as
I love World Team Trophy. It's such a shit show. I'm so excited. It's so dumb.
It's gonna be so great. Yeah, but as of right now, I hope he's well.
Yeah, I don't know. Medical reasons could be anything.
Yeah, that's right. We don't know. I don't want to speculate about it. I just wish him well. I hope he spends his off season somewhere with a lot of sun, posting a lot of pictures on Instagram of himself, not the sun.
Are you like trying to say that you want to see more ink and you want him to be shirtless?
Yeah.
Okay, I figured that. I read between the lines on that one.
I was being so subtle about it.
Yeah, so that's you. Something new you were trying.
Yeah, for once. Just, you know, Russians like coming to the Bulgarian seaside if he wanted somewhere to go.
Is the Bulgarian seaside a euphemism?
Oh, no. Yikes. Gross.
Yike.
Yikes.
Gross. Okay.
A single yike. Right. We're a about to yike. Talk about my favorite dark horse of the season, which is a weird way to addressed this beautiful boy because he's such a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking about everyone's favorite Italian Ghostbuster, Matteo Rizzo.
Oh, God, I love him. Yeah, Matteo Rizzo from Italy took gold at the Universiade. He was second after the short, and then him and Maxime kind of switched. He skated his new free skate again. And honestly, I feel like it's getting better every time he does it.
Yeah, and also, allegedly, he landed his first quad toe in competition at the Universiade, which I didn't know, but I saw Jackie Wong tweet about it, and I trust Jackie Wong.
I trust Jackie. And also, I did see the quad toe. I just, for some reason, I couldn't believe it's his first. I don't know why. It's just because he's, like, really, really good. But that's exciting. And also, my world's predictions don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, what a great season for him to come back from what was kind of like an okay Grand Prix season, and then he didn't even win his own nationals, and then he gets bronze at Euros and he wins the Universiade. Like, that's an upward trajectory right there. That's exciting to go into Worlds.
I am so proud of him, and it's so exciting. Also, if I were Daniel Gressel, who was not there because he was at Junior Worlds, I would be kind of terrified. Because, like, there's only so many people in Italy, and it's so exciting that Matteo is kind of, like, not accepting defeat after his own nationals, you know?
Yeah. Good week for Italy, though. We'll talk about Daniel Gressel in a little while, but Italian figure skating.
That is so exciting. Like, Italian figure skating is not really a thing. It's not like Japanese figure skating or something. It's, if I were
there's
Italian,
Carolina Costner. Yeah. But she's a lady.
She is a lady. And also, Ideas are from Italy. But that's about it.
I was going to say, I read today that Matteo getting his bronze at Euros was the first time an Italian man had been on the Euros podium in 10 years.
That is incredible. Can you imagine? He's just been having one of those seasons that I'm sure is going to be so much fun to, like, go back and track as we do our, like, season wrap up.
Yeah, so congratulations to Matteo.
We're so very proud.
We are, and I'm happy I got to see his free skate again. It's honestly put such a smile on my face. Like,
It's when it cuts into Don't Stop Me Now.
Oh my God. And he's like, I'm a shooting star racing through the sky. And every time it just
makes so much sense. It's like the perfect skating song. And also, like I said, when we did Euros, it's one of those songs that, like, one of those medleys, like all of, like, his Queen choices. The audience is with him the second it starts, which, like, immediately helps, like, propel him into it. It's so great. I'm so excited we get to see it at Worlds. Also kind of terrified because I have no idea what that means. But yes.
Yes. So that's the podium for the men's at the Universiade. And we have some other honorable mentions because, of course, some other big names were there. So the first of those is Alexander Samarin.
His name is Alexander Samarin.
And there's a million things he hasn't won. And this is one of them.
Yikes. Yes, correct.
Yike.
He did not win. He did fine. Yeah, he did fine after the short, and then he kind of fell behind at the free skate. There was something off about his focus, which I think cost him the podium. And also, he did not skate clean.
It's not the kind of thing where he can make a few mistakes and still be, like, top five.
Yeah, and I think he is one of those performers who kind of gets psyched out when something doesn't go perfectly well, which is kind of sad because he, at the end of the season, is starting to grow on me. I did want to see him, you know, do his best at Universiade. I feel like his free skate just kind of got away from him and therefore
it
the
did.
Podium, but it's fine. It's not the biggest thing he's doing.
It's possible that it'll be, like, bad dress rehearsal, great performance as far as the world goes.
We don't know.
The person who was third after the short was Andre Lazukin, a.k.a. Girlfriend Lazukina.
Girlfriend Lazukina. Oh, my God. Okay, so we should talk a little bit about Andre Lazukin because, as of right now, he is going to Worlds.
Which, let that sink in for a second, okay? He's going to Worlds. And if you listened to last week's episode, you know about all of the ladies' drama with Resfed and how Liza Tukhtmisheva, some would argue, got stiffed out of her spot for Worlds. Some would argue that, you know, it was fair, but it's just still a gosh darn shame because we'd love to see her. Either way, it was disappointing for her and for her fans. And now guess who's going? Oh, look, it's her boyfriend who is objectively not as good as she is.
I'm sorry, but that's just the tea. And I like his skating. It's just shocking to me that he's going to Worlds and she's not. And also that he's going to Worlds and Maxime is not.
It's a very odd timeline we find ourselves in, listeners.
Yeah, and there's, as of the time of recording, there's 5 more days in which people can withdraw or, like, change submissions. So Rusfet can keep playing with my heart if they wanted to. I'm not sure how, but they have 5 more days to mess with me, and I'm scared.
What if girlfriend Lazukina, which, by the way, is what, like, Liza put up a Instagram of the two of them once and called him girlfriend Lazukina, which is, like, why we call him
record,
that.
For the record, in Russian, that could translate to she is saying, I'm the girlfriend of Lazukin, but it could
but
also just
But we know that's
written.
Not what she's saying. Like, can we be honest? We know that's not what she's saying.
It's just, like, a cute, like, little play on words. So, yeah, girlfriend Lazukina is going to Worlds. Yeah.
Anyway, so who else should we talk about? Kazuki Tomono was there, and he did better than he has been doing, but he still wasn't quite on form. It's just been a rough season for him, and I'm really genuinely not sure why, but I want him to get back to where he was because I love him.
Same. It was such a joy to see his Riverdance free skate again. It's one of my favorite programs. We all know that I have, like, a closeted love for Lord of the Dance and, like, Irish folk dancing, and it's just so joyful and so great, and I was proud of him. Yeah, I wish we could have seen more of that this season.
Yeah, and speaking of Team Japan, Hiroaki Sato actually came out and did a really, really good job. I think he was 4th after the short, which is, like, crazy. He was ahead of Samrin after the short, which is, you know,
wild. Yeah, he really, really came through. It was kind of fascinating because I hadn't seen him in a while.
And the final person that I simply must talk about after the men's short program is a gentleman named Ruan Oliveira from the great country of Brazil.
Okay, but he has, like, 12 names and you have to read all of them.
Is it Lerty Ruan de Oliveira de Lima?
Yes.
Okay, so this motherfucker strolls into the Universiad and I don't know, Netta, you're better at figure skating than me. Can you, like, describe what happened here?
I don't know what happened.
The very simple way to describe it would be that he came out, and then once he started skating, it became just abundantly clear that he wasn't, like, good. But that's an oversimplification. It's not that he wasn't good. Like, he had certain moves. Like, he had a spread eagle and an Ina Bauer. But he was doing, like, single jumps, and everything was really shaky, and he had kind of the quality of, like,
An adult beginner skater, pre-bronze, like, a second competition ever kind of thing, which we admire and respect, and as adult skaters can relate to. However, neither one of us is out there skating with the bronze European champion, you know?
But that's kind of fucking cool, though. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are people who... I mean, we looked at his proposed layout, and, like, it's obviously just a bold-faced lie. Like,
yeah,
it has, like,
there's
triple,
like, triples. It's great. If you watch someone really, really good do singles, they still have the quality of someone who has, like, the power behind their takeoff to, like, travel far and, like, go higher up and all of that. And,
you know, this wasn't an injured man. This was a man who was very unsure on his feet.
Yeah,
which
that
I say
was a man who's never landed also, a double.
Yeah, I say this as somebody, I, like, takes one to know one, right? So I actually really loved it because I was like, this is fucking great. His footwork was cool. I mean, it's not like he was bad. He was clearly somebody who was, like, studying it. He didn't, like, walk in off the street, but it was just great because PJ Kwong, the announcer, who, by the way, is fucking great and should be announcing
everything. She did such a fantastic job at, like, announcing in a way which didn't belittle an audience, but it was also very, very good at describing what was happening for someone who, you know, maybe is just tuning in to see all of the Universiade events and doesn't really know figure skating. And she was also very positive. She did not know how to handle this.
Yeah, no idea what to say about our King Ruan, but she did every once in a while just kind of go, huh. This is a performance about pride more than anything.
Yeah, it was great. She was talking about like the joy of figure skating. While we're talking about PJ, I want to say, I don't remember who it was, but it was like one of the earlier groups during the short programs. And then someone did a hydroblade. And it was really cool. It was like a nice low hydroblade, like traveled far. The audience goes wild. And she goes, sometimes the simplest moves just have an impact. It was
the shade.
Because as I've learned recently, a hydroblade is just a back crossover that you never pull out of. And it's just about being brave enough and like stable enough to like actually go down. She's just so nice, but she has those moments of just like serving tea where I'm like, yeah, I love this. We should just bring her and the camera crew to Worlds. Just saying.
Seriously.
Yes, but that man is my hero. I'm thinking about picking up a third diploma of some sort just so I can go to the Universiade. I'm going to lie about my age and also about my layout just so I can do what he did. I'm inspired.
Yeah, he's a hero. We salute you. That was so fun.
It was fantastic. Do you want a women?
Cool. Okay, yeah, so ladies.
This was a very exciting event for ladies. A lot of favorites were there. And in third place, we got something I deeply enjoy in the face of Stanislava Konstantinova from Russia, who, as we know, is not going to Worlds. But you know what? I feel like she went to the Universiade like someone with something to prove. And she showed everyone that if she had to go to Worlds, she would do just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I really loved watching her knowing that this was her way of kind of redeeming and being like, you know what? I'm still fierce. And she went out and she performed beautifully. And yeah. I was really proud of her. It was cool.
Yeah, she did so well. There is something very like dignified and graceful about doing what she did and, you know, performing the way she did, knowing that there was like a contingent on the internet who was like pissed off at her about existing. She was second after the short program. And then she ended up with the bronze. And honestly, she skated beautifully. She looked wonderful as usual. She had, you know, her complex hairdos. And she skated, like, mostly clean, both programs.
Yeah, she did. So, I mean, what else can we ask? I think that was, like, if I was her, I would feel really great. And, like, I kind of got back up and went out and proved what I can do. And that's, yeah, you know, a great end to the season.
Yeah, I'm very proud of her. I'm very excited about, I'm excited to see what she does next. I'm kind of gonna miss her programs. Like, going into the end of the season, I've been thinking about which programs I'm, like, done with. Because there's things I never, ever want to see again. Especially her Anna Karenina. I could keep watching that. I hope she keeps it as, like, a random exhibition piece she has. I think it's so beautiful and, like, fits her classic, like, Russian energy so well.
I completely agree. And I love Evgenia Medvedeva, and I love her Anna Karenina from the Olympics too. And I know that people were like, oh my God, like why would Stasia do Anna Karenina right after Zhenya did it? And which is also weird because they're like close friends too. Although I don't get the feeling that they're all picking their own music. So yeah. I don't know. I think that there are times when it's weird to do a song pretty soon after someone else. But in this case, I think it was different. It was really different from what Zhenya did. And she does it really well. So I think that, you know, there's room enough for two of them in the world. Why not?
Yeah, there are so many Russian girls who've tried to be Anna Karenina on stage, on ice, and like in all kinds of iterations for years and years and years. I feel like we could handle two more. And while half the internet might be pissed off at her, I'm in her corner and I root for her and I'm super excited to see something else from her next season.
All right. In second place, we have Elizabeth Tursunbaeva from Kazakhstan.
Yes, God.
Who is fresh off of her four-continent silver medal. And now she has another silver to add to the collection from the Universiade. And she was fourth after the short program. It was not her best short program, but she came back and did a lovely free skate. And she did not land her quad sal. It was a similar situation to Four Continents in that I believe it was fully rotated. I actually didn't look at the protocols. It looked fully rotated to me, but then she fell.
Yeah, I think her problem is like the actual landing of it. I think she rotates it and then it just doesn't happen in the very, very end. which is more than you can say about basically every other woman competing at senior level right now. So we can't really fault her for that. But yeah, the Quad Sal did not happen. You know, she still ended up in second. So, you know, the risk she takes with the base value of that jump every time seems to have paid off. You know, a calculated gamble.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what I will say too is that this, I think, was my favorite time I ever saw her skate. I don't know if she got some confidence coming out of the silver from Four Continents or what, but she emoted a lot more than usual. And I found her really like fun and joyful to watch. And, you know, she's still not my favorite. I think for me personally, there's still something a little junior-y about the quality of her movement, but she has a lot of speed, which I think she really seemed to lean into this time. And yeah, again, like her emotions were there. And so it was more engaging.
Yeah, agreed. I don't want to be the garbage person who tells a 19-year-old girl to smile. But honestly, like the second she started emoting and she was smiling, especially like through the second half of that free skate, it just connected better for me. And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for her to win me completely over, unless we see something else from her, something different, and more of what she gave in those last minute and a half of her free skate. So I'm excited that she might be getting there. I hope it wasn't like a one-off thing. I really hope the pressure of worlds doesn't get to her. So I hope she keeps that and doesn't go back to, you know, terrified machine person skating next week. Worlds is next week.
Jesus. Yeah. And you know, look, I know it's sometimes hard to control your face when you're about to like throw your body into something physically impossible, but it is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine when skaters do the first half of their program with all the jumps with no emotion, and then the second that the hard part's over, then they start acting. That's annoying to me. Yeah. Again, I know it's hard like to make your face physically do something when you're probably like super focused and doing impossible things, but just, you know, I'm a theater person. I want to see you act through the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. And also we've seen it done. So there is like a bar set. If no one had ever emoted during the opening of a free skate, I'd be like, I guess it's part of it. But we've seen it done. So yeah, I expect it from high level performers.
And in first place, my Mihara,
yes,
won gold.
Yes, we do. I'm so excited.
And she was first after the short program too. And it's like Konstantinova, I almost feel like that Mai and Stasia have something in common, which is that they're sort of just slightly out of that like top three ladies from their country.
They're like the low-key B team, but not really.
Like, they're like the best of the B team / like on the cusp, sometimes on the podium, sometimes not. But like it's that tough spot of like constantly grappling to be considered part of the A team on a consistent level.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see her take gold and really go out and
She skated beautifully. I had no notes about her skating, as in like complaints about it. I still don't know how I feel about her music choices after the season, but that's just a matter of taste, I think.
I actually felt kind of surprised because the thing that I associate the most with her is that like warmth and joy. And she seemed like either nervous or tired or something, but I felt like I actually didn't feel that coming off of her as much, like for the first time. And I mean, I guess the judges didn't really care, which I'm glad about. Like, I want to see her do well. But for me, I was like, oh, where's my...
I don't know. She seemed very, very, very focused. And it seemed to have paid off.
Like, mm-hmm. Overall. Yeah, it's possible it was just focus. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I'm proud of her, though.
Me too.
She's another person who I feel like this is a... very good way to finish a season. I mean, it's another gold. Like, you can't argue with that. It might not be a dream season, but it's a really, really good season. And I feel like, especially in a field like hers, because she doesn't come from one of those federations where there's no one else skating, in her field, from her country, she should be super pleased with herself.
Totally.
I hope she knows we're proud of her.
I don't know how she could possibly know that, but...
Just like on a spiritual level.
I hope she feels our love.
Yeah. Do you want to do honorable mentions?
Yeah, so my first honorable mention is May Berenice Mitt.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. She went out and skated so fucking beautifully. And she finished fourth because, quite frankly, racism.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, like, the PCS that she gets are it's so unbelievably low. It's racist. Her PCS racist. For her short program was, like, 28. And I'm like,
it was
God for – it just makes me so angry because she skates with so much grace and beauty. And yet, like, clearly these judges are like, oh, a black woman with muscles? God forbid we call her graceful ever. She's athletic and it's so fucked up. It's like Serena Williams, yeah. But, like, in figure skating. It's the exact same thing. And it makes me so angry.
It's deeply frustrating. It is insane to me that the – passion and emotion with which she skates gets graded at like below junior level. Honestly, like we've been pressed about, say, like Mariah Bell getting 32 as her PCS, and over here we have May barely getting like 27-28 for a perfectly fine skate, which was beautiful. It's just so frustrating because we try to pretend that, you know, the ISU and overall judging panels have learned from their past mistakes, and clearly they haven't. It's just so annoying, and there's nothing we can do about it than, like, just talk about it, which doesn't
I mean, help. We just yell about it on Twitter. Well, yeah. we watched the episode of Losers on Netflix about Surya Bonaly, and if you don't know who she is, I would recommend watching it. I would also recommend, like, doing your research about her because, you know, our main issue with that episode was that, of course, the show is about people who, like, sports.
Like famous losers in sports.
Famous losers, which I don't think she's a loser, to be honest. She has a lot of successes behind her, but talked a lot about the racism she faced and how she was kind of, you know, it was a similar thing where people had a hard time seeing her as anything other than, like, you know, like, exotic or, like, ooh, yeah. Different, unique, but, like, had a hard time giving her any points for, like, grace and beauty. And
it makes me deeply upset that the best we can do is just talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we love her. And
yeah. And she kind of came back after her short because she was way down in the ranking after the short. And then she was fourth after the free skate, which goes to show that even to a garbage, racist panel of judges, she is kind of undeniable, which is great.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of diversity on ice, I would also like to shout out Zara Larry from the United Arab Emirates. This was the first time that the UAE had a team at the Universiade, and I believe she was the first woman to skate in a hijab at an international event or something ever.
Yeah. She
is
the
very
first.
Very cool to see.
She's fantastic. Also, the hijab aside, her costumes are so good. The way her hijab is implemented into her actual outfits, actual, like, skating costumes is so cool. This silver gray jumpsuit fantasy that she has is so beautiful. She looked fantastic. And also, I feel like there is a moment where a traditional quote-unquote skating audience could be like, oh my god, this is something new, and then she starts skating and it feels like the most normal thing. That it's insane to me that it's 2019 and this is something that still makes the news.
Yeah. And she was in the same warm-up group as my Berenice, which was also very
that
cool.
That warm-up just, group just were was like, this beautiful.
This is like a beautiful, diverse warm-up group. Like, it was very cool to see that. So if that's what the Universiade is, like, facilitating, then it's obviously a very cool event.
We stan, and I hope this is where the sport is headed. And I hope that the way people are scored and appreciated fosters that. Because the last thing you want to do is see people get discouraged because they watch, you know, the way top athletes are treated. So at the ISU and FISU, whatever it is, please take note. Yeah.
Get it together.
So, get it together. Be better. End racism.
Cool. All right. So the next event that we're going to transition into now is the Junior World Championships.
You know how I said it was exciting to not see 15-year-olds skate?
That's the 15-year-olds.
Here's all of them.
Yeah, so disclaimer to start, Netta and I don't really follow juniors with the same level of attention and religious zeal that we follow the seniors.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, we didn't really watch, like, the Junior Grand Prix or, like, Junior Nationals. So we're, like, aware of who these people are if they were at, like, national events that we watched. Or, like, obviously, you know, we watch their programs when they, like, make the news for being fantastic. We know who they are. But our level of knowledge about their general trajectories and careers and everything is not, like, as encyclopedic as it is for the seniors. So just be aware of that. Like, there are people who follow juniors really, really closely. And, like, you probably know way more than we do. But yeah, we did want to talk about it just because it is really exciting. And especially the U.S. has a really exciting crop of juniors coming up. And as does Russia, like, the super juniors, like the Atari girls and all the little, you know, the girls who can do quads and everything. It's just, like, a cool time for juniors. Yeah. And a lot of them are moving up to seniors soon, so it's good to keep our eyes on them.
Do you want to start with women in the spirit of gender equality?
Let's do it. So in third place overall for the ladies, and I actually believe third place after the short as well,
yeah,
was Miss Ting Sui from the USA. Now, this Yay. Is the first time – sorry, this is the first time the American woman has been on the Junior Worlds podium since 2012, which I believe was Gracie Gold.
Yeah.
So this is a huge achievement. She had kind of – a disappointing skate at Four Continents, so it was really cool to see her come back and really skate her best.
Yeah, and she skated so beautifully. Yeah, it was exciting to see her do as well, because I feel like going into especially Junior Worlds Lees, a lot of eyes were on the Russians, because we all know what they're capable of. Some of them are out of this world incredible as far as, like, technicality goes. And Ting is just fantastic overall, and it's so exciting and such a great achievement that she is kind of resetting this calendar for U.S. junior ladies podiuming at Worlds. I was so excited. I had a bone to pick with the camera work, because we're no longer the Universiad, and Junior Worlds camera work, in one of her programs, she wears this beautiful white dress, and she's a tiny, tiny person in a white dress on the white ice, and they thought it was great to shoot, like, half of her program from, like, super far away. So that was fantastic, and I didn't get to see any of it, but...
Yeah, we hear that program was great based on her scores. We didn't get to see it. I would like to see it.
I would like to see it.
I would like to see it, but the camera people had other plans. The camera work at Junior Worlds was as bad as the Universiad camera work was good. So yep. if it's somewhere in the middle for Senior Worlds, I'll be okay.
Yeah, just... anything that shows me what people are doing would be great.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what she does as she moves up into seniors. I wish I had come into this episode with a better handle on who was moving to seniors.
I don't think we know officially for a lot of people.
I think some of them are aging out, like the boys, yeah. But the girls don't age out for a while. So it could be like, I mean, I think Ting could go to seniors next year, I bet, if she wanted to, she won't. Before we talk about second and first place, who, spoiler, spoiler, are both Russians, we should mention that another very important Russian junior lady, Miss Alyona Kostornaya, dropped out or, like, withdrew from the competition a couple of days before, which was a huge gag because she is, like, easy top three of the junior ladies, and is always, I mean, those, it's like Shcherbakova, Trusova, and Kostornaya are always kind of switching and around who's,
yeah.
The visual in my head is like a pile of puppies that are always, like, trying to fight to be on top because they're so little, you know?
They're used to sharing a podium, the three of them.
Yeah, in some order, they switch it up. She, I would laugh if they all just did, like, rocks, paper, scissors beforehand to decide, just, like, to make it equal, but I'm sure that's not the case. She won the – I believe she won the Junior Grand Prix final, and then she podiumed at Russian Junior Nationals and Russian Nationals, maybe, I think she did.
I'm not sure. She's like – she's one of those Russian junior ladies who is terrifying because she's so, so, so good, but she withdrew, which – I feel like no one's so coming.
And it's sad because she skates with a level of maturity and grace that I think is typically missing from a lot of the Atari girls. And so I think of those young, like, super juniors, as they are called, I really like her the best. So I was sad that she couldn't be there. But
But some other
it did open up the field in an interesting way.
Yeah, I gonna go ahead and say that I feel like it was great for Tang, because she ended up podiuming, which I'm not sure it would have happened otherwise. And it opened up the top two spots to Shterbakova and Trusova to, you know, figure out who wants to take over and who wants to take over. Like we said, it's a rock, paper, scissors kind of fantasy.
Well, it was literally like the, like, Shcherbakova won the short program and Trusova came in second, and then it flip-flopped for the overall, for the free skate and, like, overall. So,
yeah.
Basically, second place was Anna Shcherbakova, who is the reigning Russian national champion and who's just a little doll.
I think she's just so cute. I really like her skating. I do too. I deeply root for her long-term success. Which is to say, I hope she doesn't get broken by everything that Russian junior figure skating is and can be. Because I see a lot of potential for, like, the growth and maturity and emotional investment that we expect from people as they go into seniors. And I firmly believe she's capable of that as long as she's taken care of. So that's where I'm at. I just root for her success.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a quad, let's for Christ's sake. But the thing is between Shcherbakova and Trusova, Shcherbakova is the one who has more grace and, like, more on the artistic side. It's like you watch her and you're like, oh yeah, like, that was a better skate. Like, just from a spectator's point of view, it feels like she's the better skater. But Trusova technically has more difficult elements and has a little more consistency there. And I think so it just, depending on the judging panel, she can get higher scores. Like, the short program, their PCS was literally like they were exactly the same down to 0.01 points away from each other. Yeah. And I question the math on that one, because at a certain point that feels a little bit like, let's just throw her an extra hundredth of a point if we want to. But I'm not a mathematician and I don't really know how that works. So I could just be speculating, but it was like something 0.33 versus 0.34. And I'm like, that feels like something was divided by three and then they rounded it differently. Like, yeah, that's what that felt like to me.
Writing up and rounding up and down, which is odd. And if I were their coaches, I would be asking questions. I'm so used to, like, rhythmic gymnastics, where after each score they go and, like, contend things.
I think that it ended up being okay, because it that particular rounding thing was in Trusova's favor, but Shcherbakova still won the short program, so I don't think anybody thought to, like, complain. Yeah. But the thing about Trusova is, for me, although she has this incredible technical ability, she is, like, the most junior in terms of her artistic skills. It's like there's no dance, there's no grace, there's no power. It's just, like, flapping and, like, not even – it's just element, nothing in between. So that for me is, like, she's not ready for the seniors for me. And agreed. Is she going up next year?
I don't think so. She's 14.
I don't know. We're not going to talk about them again, so I think we need to just do a quick costume roundup. And I need to say that I love Shcherbakova's pink and blue.
Yes. It's such a beautiful color scheme. It is so effective. Also, I'm always a fan of, like, more vibrant, darker colors on ice. Like, I'm thinking
contrasting, like, jewel tones.
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, Alexia Paganini's blue dress. I love, like, a deep, vibrant, darker color, because, you know, what Tang wears is beautiful, but they pull the camera back and you can't see her. So it's always great. It's always great to be visible on ice, I feel like.
Yeah. Conversely, I could not possibly hate both of Trusova's costumes more. Like, her short program, she does Kill Bill, which I actually really like that program. I think it's cool. I like the Kill Bill music. She skates in, like, kind of, it's like black, and then it has, like, an orange and gold, like, is it a tiger or it's a dragon or something? It looks like a bad, like, white guy karate uniform.
Yeah, I'm not.
And then the free skate is, like, actually the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So she skates to the Fifth Element music, which I love that movie. It's really one of my favorite movies of all time, like, easily top five. And the music is very cool. If you've seen the movie, she skates to, like, the Diva Dance, which is, like, sci-fi, opera, obviously everything I like.
And she wears a costume, like, that you clearly love.
Oh my god. It has nothing to do, like, the obvious reference would be to Worse blue, right?
Yeah.
Because that alien is blue.
Yeah.
But instead she wears like a gray full bodysuit with like bright orange details on it and like a triangular Dorito crotch flap that is brighter orange than anything else on the costume.
I
don't get it. It feels like she put on the costume and was like, oh, I feel like this is immodest. And the costume designer was mad and was like, you want modesty? Here, I'm sticking part of a traffic cone over your crotch. That's literally, I cannot picture any other way that could have gone down.
Yeah, you know, as far as gray jumpsuits go, we just talk about Zara Larry's gray jumpsuit, which is perfect. This is what happens to that jumpsuit when things go horribly wrong. It's so upsetting. The color scheme is upsetting. And you know I love gray. And I love gray on eyes. And I, in theory, would be so excited by this. The execution is so horribly bad. And I feel like it does her a disservice as well, because I'm already having a hard time like taking her as seriously as some of her competitors because of her style, even though she's technically good. And then she skates out looking like that. And I'm ready to spend 4 minutes of my life just kind of making fun of it a little bit. And I'm sure it wasn't her choice. I'm completely convinced that there's a team of people.
It might have been. I don't know. I had terrible taste when I was like 14.
Yeah, but like, are they allowed to like fully pick a costume? Shouldn't someone say something?
Like, I don't know. But you know what? Whether or not this is a brand that she has any say in, I think it's cool that they are kind of making her brand to be like, she's like a little tough badass, like hit girl from that movie, yeah, with the girl with the knives or whatever, rather than skating in dresses to ballet music. Clearly that's not her strength. I'm not really sure that this is her strength either, but I do think it's closer. And I think it is cool that they're kind of bucking against the traditions of like,
we know
figure skating is feminine.
Yeah, agreed. We know I love a dystopian heroine. I just wish they gave her something else to wear.
It's true. But if they took Brady's black and blue dress and just made it pants, that would be so cute for her. Yeah. Like, put her in that.
Yeah, agreed. But that's not
That would actually be really good for the Fifth Element because it's blue.
Yeah, and yet she doesn't do that. But she does win gold, so I feel like all of our complaints are kind of pointless.
Is it a reference to, like, Lilu's orange suspenders? Like, I don't know what it is.
I do not think the costume designer has ever seen the Fifth Element.
No, I don't either. I think that's the problem. Well, it was obviously enough to get her gold, so good for her.
Yeah,
world
good
champion.
For her. Very
junior
proud.
World champion.
Yeah, good for her. Speaking of people in horrible costumes, do you want to do honorable mentions?
Okay, cool. So Hannah Harrell was there as well. And although we don't like her costume choices or her music choices, as we said in our very first episode, she skated a lot better here than she did at Nationals. Like, by far, I think she blew her previous season's best out of the water. So although,
yeah, by like 20 points or something.
Yeah. So although she didn't break, you know, top six or whatever, still really, really exciting and impressive competition for her.
Yeah. She's one of the people on my list of people that I'm excited to see with new programs. So deeply.
Oh my God.
Just mm-hmm. anything else. I feel like now that she's gotten her ballroom fantasy out of the way, she can go ahead and do just about anything else. I'm excited for her to go into summer training and come back with something else.
Yeah.
Can you come up with something else?
Change your costume, Hannah. Change it around.
Change it. Fucking change it around. Come on, Teletubby. Hello and welcome to a show where Megan and I reenact the entirety of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 1.
But just that one episode of Untucked.
So swiftly moving on.
Swiftly moving on. And the last person that I would like to talk about from the Junior World Championships in the ladies competition is Miss Yuna Shirayuwa, who skates under Spin Daddy Stefan Lambiel.
Correct. Please keep that in.
Oh, I will.
She does.
He deserves it.
He does. We've talked about this in private, but I want to put it on record. I'm so taken by Stefan's approach of just picking extremely talented, chaotic children and working with them.
Yes, it's not about like, I'm gonna take the young skaters who are like already winning everything. He's like, I'm gonna take the ones who are not really winning everything but have a lot of potential and are like the most extra flamboyant chaotic children I could possibly find, because they really are all like on the same spiritual level. Like, Yuna has that big Dennis Stefan Koshiro, yeah, they all have that same energy of like chaos, sunshine, magic, weird, tacky costumes and music. Although, so Yuna's, she does pictures at an exhibition, which is gorgeous, obviously. And then it's like her, is it her free skate or her short that she does the James Bond train remake?
I think that's her short. Hold on, hold on. I'm checking.
I think it's her short too.
I'm checking.
She does a,
she placed fifth overall.
Yeah.
It's very bold. Yeah, it's her short program. It's all aboard.
It's very bold to be a Japanese woman and do James Bond when Wakaba Higuchi already has such an iconic James Bond.
Yeah.
But Yuna Shiraiwa does... She does a piece called All Aboard, which starts as James Bond and then goes into, like, a very, like, 2001-era EDM choo-choo train song. Like, I don't really know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
It's like electro swing.
This train piece tries to be, like, seven different things. It reminds me of that movie, The Tourist. I don't know if you've seen that. It's, fortunately, Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie... And there's, like, spies in a train. And that's it.
It sounds to me, like, aside from the James Bond part, it reminds me of, like, the Venga bus is coming. Flash, like, something from, like, Lazy Town.
God. Yeah, so it's deeply chaotic, and I support everything it stands for.
The Champery kids all did pretty well at this competition. I think Steph seemed really pleased.
Yeah, he seemed like a person who hurt his nose, but he seemed pleased.
It looked like it was healing by the last day.
Yeah, yeah. Or he got some very nice concealer. He went to, like, the Sephora in Zagreb. Wow. Speaking of Sephora, do you want to talk about boys?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know what that transition was, but I'm sticking with it.
All right, so we spoke earlier about one Italian sweetheart, and now we're going to talk about another Italian sweetheart by the name of Daniel Grasso.
Daniel Grasso!
A little cherubic angel boy who looks like a 16-year-old with a Rocky Horror haircut.
Yeah, it's very Rocky Horror. He got bronze, and everyone was very excited by that. And by everyone, I mean Benoit Rochelle, who is his choreographer, who was very, very excited. And also a fun tidbit by Benoit himself is that only Daniel and what is his name?
Oh, it was the I forget his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Luke Meyerhofer.
Austrian. Yes. I actually really liked Luke Meyerhofer.
Yeah.
He didn't have like the technical elements to place really high, but I thought he was one of the best performers, especially in the short program.
So Daniel and Luke Meyerhofer were the only people in the Junior World Men who got step sequence level fours. Because Benoit is a choreography genius.
He super is. And Daniel was really sweet. He posted on social media after that. He was like, I really wasn't expecting to podium. I thought, because it's his first Junior Worlds. And he was like, I thought maybe next year I could podium. And this year I would just go out and do my best. I didn't believe I could do it this year. So it was really, really sweet. And I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, it was. A lot of things had to happen for him to end up on that podium. And we'll talk about them, some of them in like honorable mentions and stuff. But... it was so sweet. And honestly, anytime someone who doesn't expect to podium ends up podiuming, I'm kind of like rooting for him, for them. I've said this before. I always kind of care about who ends up with bronze just because it's such a spot where like for some people, it's a complete disappointment. And for some people, it's like the shock of their lives because they didn't expect to podium at all. So that was exciting. He skated really, really well. He looks like a beautiful prince in his like princely blouse. He's one of the people who is on that Venn diagram of people in blouses. You know, the pirate vampire prince.
Yeah.
He's up there. And I'm so excited. He's one of those people who could be moving up like within like the next two seasons or so. He's... up there with Matteo is like the future of Italian figure skating, which is super great.
Yeah, how exciting that they have two really, really strong men.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, like through this season, they suddenly have two competitors again, which is incredible.
What would be cool is if Matteo does well enough at Worlds that they then get two spots for the following Worlds and then they can both go. Yes. That would be cool.
Can we do that, Matteo? If you're out there, please just do well.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Is the way things have been going... I can completely see that. Yes.
All right. Now, in silver is Roman Savasin. How do you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
He's a Russian man. And I did not know who the fuck he was. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know who he was because I don't really follow juniors. And then looking back, I'm like, well, it's not really my fault I didn't know who he was because he didn't make the junior Grand Prix final. And he was like 12th at Russian Nationals or something. And then I think he did podium at Russian Junior Nationals, but I didn't watch Russian Junior Nationals. Yeah. So
also for a junior, he's kind of on the older side. He is 19. So it's kind of his like last push.
Again, I think a lot of unexpected things had to happen with the junior men as it did. And even within his own field, I know that the reigning junior world champion, Alexey Arakhov.
And is also and a Virgo. Okay, never mind.
And a Virgo, and he pulled out right at the last minute.
I wasn't going to make any predictions for junior men, but Roman was kind of a surprising silver. So good for him. It probably is his last junior worlds, and he's going out with a medal, so that's great.
And then in first place is the Pokemon Master himself, the 2019 World Junior World Champion, Tomoki Hiwatashi.
That feels so good to say.
Oh, it sure does.
2019 World Junior Champion, Tomoki Hiwatashi. Sounds like something I would say while talking about my dream world.
My God. So he finished second after the short program, and then he actually also finished second after the free, and he's in the kiss and cry. He's drinking his water, and he sees that he places second. He takes a sip of water. He's kind of like, okay. And then he sees it flip to first overall after they add, you know, the short and the free together. And he almost spits his water out. He was not expecting it. He jumps up, and he's like, ah! Oh, my God.
He literally had, like, a full spit take. It was so precious.
The medal ceremony, he comes out, he does like a bajillion Russian splits in a row. Like, he's got all of his like swagger, and then he gets on the podium and then they start playing the national anthem and he's like weeping, and I was weeping, and it was like a whole
thing. Megan and I were watching together, and at some point in the chat you were like, it's been so long since we've heard this anthem. And now I'm not American, but just hearing that said, I was like, oh shit, it's been so long. And I just started crying. I'm so incredibly proud of him. There is one picture from that medal ceremony which I think deserves a Pulitzer for, like, photography journalism. He's just, like, clutching his chest and, like, crying, and it's so beautiful. And then the next day he had to post on Instagram, and he was like, I'm so sorry about, like, everyone I didn't hug. He was like, I was so surprised that I just forgot, which is so precious.
And right after he won, he followed the Iced Tea Pod on Twitter, and honestly, that's the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life. He also follows my personal Twitter. I think if you follow him, he'll follow you back.
Yeah, I feel like he follows everyone back. He followed me as well. But that doesn't mean that I'm not proud of that.
He's our most high-profile Twitter follower by far on the podcast. Yeah. And you could join the ranks of Tomoki Hiwatashi and follow us on Twitter at Iced Pod.
Friend of the Pod 2019 Junior World Champion. It makes me so happy.
He just skated so beautifully. Times he just went out and just was like, oh my God, it was so good. Like, we were so proud of him.
Yeah, I feel like a mom. I feel like I went to my son's recital.
Yeah, so but instead of the recital, it was the world championship.
Yeah, it was like a slightly more important recital.
Now, we keep saying a lot of things had to happen for this to... Yeah, we did predict that Tomoki was going to win. That wasn't surprising, although it was a nice, you know, surprise anyway, because what the fuck do we know? But the biggest kind of bittersweet thing was our other sweet son, Camden Pulkkinen. He won the short program in the blouse that slaps in the routine. Yeah, by a bunch in the routine choreographed by Stefan Lambiel in his beautiful ombre drapey prince costume. And it was stunning. And then in the free skate, he just had a really rough time with his West Side Story. And here's the thing with that. He did not finish on the podium, and he finished – he was like eighth or something like that.
Yeah, he finished eighth overall.
But of the free skate, he got the highest PCS score of anyone, including Tomoki, because he performed the shit out of that West Side Story. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, like, even though he, like, fell a bunch and he didn't get his medal, like, I'm glad that the scores reflected the fact that his performance was really, really strong.
Yeah, agreed. He understands the music and he understands, like, the performance part of skating. And we have seen him skate beautifully with very few mistakes in the past, literally as recently as the short program at Junior Worlds. We know he's capable of that, and we know now that he is also incredibly capable of, like, really performing and delivering the emotional arc of a piece. I know it must have been hard, you know, going from first to eighth. He was actually ninth after in the free skate, but eighth overall. It sucks. Like, could have been something else. I wish he were on that podium. I was kind of expecting it.
I was too. I really was. I wanted him and Tomoki to go 1-2 because they're like best friends. And I have to imagine Cam is really proud of Tomoki, but it must be it your must best suck. Friend
yeah.
win and not feel like you did your best. But, you know, they seem to be in good spirits after, and we'll talk about the banquet in a minute. But yeah.
I hope, like everyone else, I hope this motivates him going into, you know, the summer and then going into next season. I'm super excited to see what else he does. He's one of the people that I'm looking forward to seeing new programs. Cause
I know, and I hope he gets to work with Stefan again.
God, I know. He said that Stefan's a really nice guy, so hopefully.
So two little Canadian princes both took some great falls, and they were both little promising Orser babes. We have Steven Gogolev and Joseph Fan, who are just darling and so promising and have so much hype around them, especially Gogolev.
Yeah.
And yet, both of them took some of the most painful-looking falls I have ever seen. And I'm just so glad they're okay.
Stressed me out. The last time I was this worried about someone falling, I think, was Mikhail Kalada with his wrist. Also, I did not expect that from Gogolev, because, like, around Canadian Nationals, for a brief insane second, we thought he might be Canadian National Champion, which didn't end up happening. But he's, like, a little force. And then this just wasn't, it wasn't his event. He was 10th after the short program, 3rd in the free skate, and it landed him in 5th overall. So it's not, he definitely came back, but I would expect that he expected higher.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I expected higher
same.
For him. And even same with Joseph Fan. I mean, I think it's hard to take a fall like that. But I guess the last person that we wanted to talk about was Alexei Krasnojan, who, coming into Junior Worlds, I think really had something to prove, because last year he was first after the short program at Junior Worlds and then had to pull out before the free, even though everybody was like, oh my God, he's going to win, because that was where he like shattered his foot, right? In Sofia?
Yeah.
In your neck of the woods?
Yes, it was in Sofia. It was like literally a 5-minute drive away from my house, and he got really, really hurt. I wasn't even in the country at the time, but I feel personally responsible. But yeah, jokes aside, he did get hurt pretty badly. So this season has been kind of, you know, not a comeback per se, but he's been working past this injury and kind of relearning things. And I feel like this was kind of the culmination of that, going back to Junior Worlds. And it didn't probably go as well as one would have hoped.
It was so hard because I believe he was like fourth in the short, right?
Yeah.
And so it was like he was just off the podium. And his short,
He was fifth after the short.
Okay, he was fifth after the short. We've talked about his short program, To Dancing on My Own, and how it's so emotional and like moving. And he just seemed like he didn't have that at this competition. He seemed like stressed, and I can imagine it would be a lot of pressure to feel like you have something to prove and come back with all eyes on you when you were like kind of, you know, quote unquote supposed to win last year, you know.
Agreed. It felt like he was in his head about it. It's still one of the most beautiful programs this season, in my personal opinion. It kind of hits like everything I enjoy about a short program. It's dramatic and contemporary and very emotional. It was missing something just energy-wise. And I honestly think it was just like pressure and kind of...
Yeah, the stakes of the event for him. Yeah. And then his free, he just fell a bunch. And then by the time the best part, which is the step sequence, rolls around, he was just like, you could just tell he was pretty devastated already. So again, the performance wasn't there. He went from being like, okay, I have to do my best to get on this podium, to like, there's no way. And that just sucks to be the culmination of his junior career when there was so much riding on it. I don't know. I just felt really awful for him.
Same. He's one of those people where I hope there is like a cosmic way he knows how much we love and support him. And I know there is, you know, social media where we could let him know, but on a deeper spiritual level, I just hope he knows. And we wish him all the best. Yes.
So yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that the ladies was not the most like surprising thing in the world. Nothing crazy happened. I think Kosternaya pulling out was like the surprise, but then the event itself, that podium wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
but the men's was like twists and turns every corner.
Yeah, it was wild. I want to tell the podcast, just for the record, we watched the short program for this event live. The way we watched this was I had just finished work and I walked about 2 miles from work to my house while on FaceTime audio with Megan and watching the event on my phone and fully screaming to like all of my neighborhood, which is full of wonderful Bulgarian people who I'm sure were kind of distressed because I was prancing around screaming because it was so riveting. This is the lengths to which we go to deliver this kind of content.
And I think the best way to transition would be to start by talking about the Junior Worlds Banquet, which was the single littest party that has ever been thrown in the history of the world.
Here's the thing. So we obviously were not in Zagreb. We were not invited. I think my invite got lost somewhere. I'm upset about it. But from what we saw on Instagram stories, and I can't even give credit because every single junior who's ever been to Zagreb posted on their stories on Instagram, you know, as much as senior banquets always look kind of like it's a bunch of people who are very tired and they're wearing semi-formal wear and they're just kind of having hors d'oeuvres and, you know, hanging out.
And no one's on the dance floor.
And no one's on the dance floor. The juniors turned up.
It gave me flashbacks to like people's like sweet 16s or like bar mitzvahs. It was just like a lot of like really, really excited, presumably sober teenagers just like going the fuck off.
And then there's like a timestamp on one of the posts and it's like 10 p.m.
I know, it's so cute. Like they had like a dance circle. People were like twerking. They were like wearing a unicorn. Unicorn suit. I don't even know.
Can you imagine being the person who packs a bag to fly off to Croatia for Junior Worlds and you're like, oh yeah, I gotta pack my unicorn onesie for the banquet?
I'm honestly just so happy that they seemed to have a really fun party.
Yeah.
Because like it just felt very stressful, and it's one thing if you're like an adult, but if you're a kid, to go through that amount of stress is so tough, and I'm glad they got to
have their moms are there. Or like if they are, it's like different because you can't hang out with your mom. Like
I hang out with my mom all the time.
I mean, so. Me too, which is why I feel for those children who can't.
I know. I love that we were both like, oh, it'd be nice if our moms were there. But when you're a teenager, you're like, no, mom, don't. I have to go party with the unicorns in Zagreb. Don't come with me.
That sounds like a horrible euphemism.
Yeah, it does. It really does. But I'm really happy that they had a good time.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same thing as hearing people's universities at the Universiade. It like really humanizes everyone to see, you know, Gogolev in his tiny suit posing with other people, and he, even next to other juniors, he's still tiny. It looks like someone brought their like baby brother to the bar mitzvah. It's great.
I know, and he's like, mom said I could stay up with you guys. Like it just never gets old. It never gets old for me seeing all of the little, even like the little Russian girls, like they're all in their little like dresses and taking selfies. This literally looks like, oh my god, Sasha's 8th grade graduation party. Like that's what it looks like every
time. Yeah, it's so precious. It makes me so happy. Like you said, I'm glad they had a good time.
So what else happened on social media? Would you like to talk about the piano man himself, Nathan Chen?
Yeah, so Nathan Chen is skating at Worlds next week. Worlds is next week. I'm going to say this one more time. Worlds is a week away. Nathan has been doing arts, I feel like, as a way to center himself. He, first of all, he went to an art gallery and he saw some Mondrians, which everyone found so funny because they look geometric and structural, which we know is something he enjoys.
But my favorite part was that on the picture of him looking at the Mondrian, it says Sergey, liked by Sergey Voronov. Also, we always say his costume looks like a Mondrian, so I laughed so hard.
And then yesterday on his Instagram story, he played the piano, we assume in like a random music room at Yale somewhere, but he was playing Mariah's Free Skate music and he like tagged her and he was like, LOL, miss hearing this every day. And it was very sweet. And also he's a talented pianist, of course, because he's good at everything. It was a nice, tender moment.
I would like to talk about meme queen empress Liza Tuktomyshova, who continues to take her disappointing omission from the world's team in stride in the best way.
It's lemons. It's lemonade out of lemons.
I could see her having a career post-skating the way that, like, Johnny Weir or Adam Rippon does. Yes. They're getting by on the fact that they're so charismatic and funny. Like, she did a couple of things that were great. She had a meme contest on, like, her social media. And the funniest one was, like, it just, I don't know, it showed, like, all the girls going to Worlds, like, pulling up in a car. And then, like, Liza pulling up in a car. And then it just... I don't know. I'm describing a meme out loud, which is never going to be funny, but we're going to retweet it.
It was funny.
We always say we will retweet things, then we don't, but we'll do this one. But my favorite was when Jackie Wong tweeted, oh my God, I'm going to Worlds in 1 week. Worlds freak out. And then Liza quote tweeted it and was like, oh my God, in 1 week, I'm going out to dinner. Lobster freak out.
I'm very concerned because now she's not going to have a date for the lobster freak out.
She can bring her cute cat.
Yeah, she could, but that'd be very sad.
Could she bring Bettina? They're not going to Worlds, are they?
No, yeah, she could bring Bettina.
What, Bettina won...
Yeah, we should shout them out. Yeah. What the fuck is his name? Sergey... Bettina Popova and Sergey Mozgov won their first gold at the Universiade. And watching them in the kiss and cry was one of those, like, super beautiful, emotional moments in figure skating. They were so shook. It was so beautiful. And then they had a very beautiful exhibition as well. And Bettina is wonderful. I have DM'd her by accident. And she found it very funny. And we, like, chatted for a second. So I like her.
I like her too.
Okay, so Alexei Mishin and Tamara Moskovina celebrated their 50th year as a coaching team, like, a couple days ago. They've been at it for 50 years, which, you know, say whatever you want about Mishin, but that's very admirable. Like, the longevity and the fact that they're still producing competitors who are world-class and some of the best that we talk about is kind of great. You know, Mishin may be a terrifying old man, but... he is kind of a legend in the sport. So they had a party. They had a nice show to celebrate their careers. And a bunch of things happened that are important at what you've called Mishin Fest 2019.
Yeah, so Liza, of course, was there as one of his top skaters, and she did Toxic, and then she and girlfriend Lazukina did a pair skate, but, like, she was still in her Toxic outfit, so that was, like, awkward and weird. My favorite thing from this show was that my very own son, Misha Kolyara, debuted his new exhibition, which is a Charlie Chaplin routine. And I was skeptical because we have seen Keegan Messing's Charlie Chaplin. We have seen Javier Fernandez's Charlie Chaplin. I was like, do we need a stiff, grumpy Charlie Chaplin from my chaotic, grumpy son, Misha? But boy, was I wrong. It was darling.
Charming. It was so precious. It was so wonderful. First of all, he is the only person ever in the history of figure skating who skated out with props and he actually used them. He juggled and then he
played golf with, he had a cane and he used the balls to, like, play golf.
Yeah, he looked like he had fun. He was wearing, like, the obligatory, like, Charlie Chaplin pants, like, very wide cigarette pants. He did the trick where you spin the hat on the cane. Also, he looked like he's in good form, which was also exciting for me because I've been worried about him because he's been falling a bunch. My one dream is, you know, the FBA YouTube channel, they do, like, all the people react things. Mm-hmm. I have a dream, which is a Keegan Messing reacts, where they get Keegan to just watch this program and see what he thinks about it.
That'd be so cute.
I know. I think, like, the Olympic channel or someone should get on that because I feel like that's great content. Because Keegan is the king of floppy physical comedy. And I think Misha would do him very proud. Also, at the same event, Sofia Samodurova can sing.
She has pipes.
Sofia Samodurova, this beautiful, tiny Russian doll of a human, by which I mean she's Russian and she's a doll. I don't mean she has people inside of herself. Sofia Samodurova is giving my beautiful wife, Mariah Bell, a run for her money. Because she skated to Celine, and not only did she skate to Celine, she started out by singing the first verse herself.
It was very Star Andrews, but here's the thing. The way she outdid all of them was she sang it into a wireless mic while skating. And granted, she wasn't doing anything crazy complicated, but she looked graceful and beautiful. And, you know, she handed the mic off once the song got too high so she could just go out and, like, skate beautifully. But she sounded really good. I mean, it would be really easy to use your platform as European champion to be like, I'm going to have a vanity moment and sing even though I'm not good at it. But she genuinely was.
Yeah, it was very surprising. It was like a nice surprise. Do we have anything else in social media?
I think that's it. I mean, I think everyone's just getting ready to go to Worlds. And in the next few days, we're going to see people start arriving in Saitama.
It's starting this time next week. Events will have already happened. Before we go into more advertisement of our personal social media, I just want to say thank you to people who have rated us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It means the world. It's so exciting. Also, if you open up your app right now to rate us if you haven't, you'll see that we officially have a 5-star rating, which is awesome. It feels great.
Yeah, thank you so much to everybody who did that.
And in the meantime, if you want to tell us how great we are, you can find us on social media. The podcast is on icedpod.com, where you can read all about us and about what we try to do here, if you don't know yet. You can also find us at icedpod on Twitter and Instagram for memes, hottest hot takes, live tweeting, going into worlds, retweets of Liza Tuktamisheva's memes, and anything else that might be important. And also, Megan, if they want to wish you a belated happy birthday, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at MeganKelleher3, and I'm also MeganKelleher3 on Instagram.
You can find me at Neda Marie, that's N-E-D-A, Marie, like Marie Kondo, on Twitter and Instagram. I would love to be friends. Tune in next week, we'll be covering one of the short programs at Worlds.
I can't believe this is so exciting. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.